What's good? What's good? We back live from Vietnam. We got Big Kaz next to me. We got Big Face. We got Jones. We got Mr. J. Okay, how y'all doing, fellas?
It's good.
Good, 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 good.
Peace. How y'all living?
Peace.
Everything's lovely.
What up, Face?
What up, Mr. Jones?
Peace, Kaz. Good to meet you, man.
Peace, Mr. Jones. Good to meet you, too, man.
T. And that good. Guy.
So everybody doing good? Okay. I know Face didn't really want to talk about this topic, but I think hip hop, we gotta get into it.
How did it start like this? Here we go.
We gotta talk
Face
about
in
it.
Trouble man. Already get talking before the show.
Tupac. I mean, you know, it's hip hop.
DVD.
We gotta talk about it. Like, what's the reaction to this? Who wants to go first?
I mean, I can't believe it, man, to be honest, because, you know, like I said, I've been on the YouTube watching a lot of shit. I've been watching this shit for so many years. I can't believe that they, you know, actually doing that shit, but it's crazy. I mean, you can feel a certain kind of way about it because people might feel a certain kind of way about, you know, niggas going to jail, but, you know, some people feel the other way too, you know, wanting, you know, redemption for his mother and people that lost him and stuff, you know.
You think hip hop needs some closure on this?
I think they already had the closure. I think like I saw an interview where Vlad was talking about how he had closure when the interview went down, and I kind of feel the same way. I think the hip hop culture been watching those videos. You know, people knew, and not only that, people actually most you know people that was in the know and really tapped in with the streets knew 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
But my thing is though, KVD had a deal in 2009 where he signed an agreement that he could speak on it.
Okay.
Right. So that's why he came out and started speaking on it, because he has basic immunity from L.A. that he could speak on these podcasts about it. That's going to be an issue coming on this trial, man.
I think the reason he's speaking about it is because the guy, Greg Caden, kind of fucked him over by, like, you know, he recorded the key when he recorded the proper and then, you know, kind of put it out. You know, that was a real dangerous thing for him to do. You know, people could have got who knows, people may have got hit behind that.
But he signed the deal, I mean, on the Biggie shit. They wanted him to sit down and talk. Anyway.
But nobody would have really knew if that tape was recorded. I remember when that tape first came out, a lot of people didn't even believe that was a real tape. You know? So at that point, I think that's what made him be like, fuck it, it's out there now. I might as well put out a fucking
book. Wrote a book. Wrote a book, too.
Wrote a book.
Keith wrote a book. Said he placed himself in the vehicle.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, there that went.
Jones, Jay, what y'all think?
Well, the whole thing is, like you said, he wrote a book about it. He's been online about it. He's been, you know, talking to everybody and their mom about it. It's kind of like, what are you going to do? You didn't expect this to happen? I mean, yeah, they gave him the deal in L.A., but I believe he's getting prosecuted in Vegas. So, you know, yeah, that's two different jurisdictions.
Yeah. I mean, so, true, but they you know, they usually uphold what one's made. We'll see how that go down. Is what I'm saying, though.
I feel like if it's federal, they might have to.
I feel like they may. There's something else must be happening. And they're trying to give us Tupac's murder to keep us over here watching it. I don't know what the hell.
So, I want to know why they keep talking about Diddy. Like there's so much talk about Diddy.
Oh yes, so they might throw Diddy to the wolves. You can't see that.
They even asked the investigator. Someone
they would set them up. For
I'm wondering if that what they really looking for.
For 2 years.
And if so why are they really looking for him?
They have changed this man's whole perception online, right? Yeah. They have sullied this man. When you see him, you think, is this dude an undercover pedophile? Blah blah blah. You know, stealing people's royalties and whatnot. And this is what they built you to, with no evidence, just kind of, you know, passive aggressive hearsay type shit. Yeah.
That's so, what he next. Jones, what were you about to say though?
I was feeling a part of what Kaz was saying in relation to you saying about, you know, closure, you know, because it's like, you know, despite everything else, despite all the entertainment and stuff, you know what I'm saying? This cat's mother she done bounced. You know, she done passed away. This cat got real live family. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think it's about closure for hip hop. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know. It's like, this whole shit is wild. It's like, this shit been playing in front of us day after day after DVDs from the flea market to investigation discovery to the big screen.
Oh, they done made their money with these two deaths for sure.
Oh my goodness, they made man!
Billions of dollars off the back of these two deaths.
For and sure. I don't think it's going to stop, man. We're going to be looking for the thing on Keith D Lifetime joint coming up next, you know. But
yeah, yeah. Just I just hope they coming out, the show coming out.
If they really trying to put a cap on it, then put a cap on it, you know. But you know, we in some different days now.
Yeah, to this point about Diddy, you know, they knew that Diddy hired Crips as security. And the rumor was, you know, he didn't pay certain people after he got to a certain level. So he got different security and things of that nature. So people were already kind of speculating that this was kind of a payback for that, to put him in the middle of it.
The Biggie thing, yeah. Well, Keefe, and also KVD claims on record that Puffy offered him $1 million to kill Suge and Tupac, but he never received a deposit. I mean, he's on record saying that.
Yeah, and it's a lot of people on record saying that the money did show up, but just didn't show up to KPD, but the money was, the check was cut. That's what I'm saying. We know so much about all of this shit.
Right.
You know, we know, I mean, that's why I love the podcast era, like people being able to like tell their story and tell what really happens. I think we've been had closure because, I mean, we've all seen the Art of the Dialogue. We've all seen that Cam Capone, and we've heard the story. We've had the closure. But right now, what we're witnessing now with the arrest, that's just wild shit.
Yeah.
That's just a sample of 2024. You know, like when the gorilla had died that one year, you knew what was coming.
Yeah.
Shit like that, you know what I'm saying?
Harambe, bitches! Harambe! Ain't that gorilla? Goddamn
Harambe,
motherfucker.
So where does it go then if, say, let's just follow me. Say it comes out that Diddy is involved. I mean, what's the reaction then?
I mean, if you follow the story like you
should, go to jail.
He is involved, but not to the point where he would actually get indicted.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, people already know what time it is. Like I said, not only do people know what time it is, people who tapped in knew 20 years ago. 25 years ago, so I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah,
it's just some crazy shit that we watching. Like, I really want to see, like, is Keefe D gonna get convicted? I really want to see. Like, I was so tripped out when I watched TMZ and I saw Suge saying all that shit. Suge was just saying like, yo, that's my man, Keefe D, a fucker.
Yeah,
you know?
really quick too. How about this, Cass? I'm glad you said that, Cass. What do you think about Suge coming out like in the last 2 days saying he should be released? He served 9 years. He's saying, due to technicalities in his case, that he should be released, and they're allowing it to go forward. So he may be released early. Suge could be out in the next few months.
I say free Suge. And I ain't, that ain't no
he just, done 9 years. That ain't no just for running him up and over.
Nobody that Suge harmed. I'm just saying, I don't want nobody to be like
he did 9 years. He ran a motherfucker over. He should be out. I mean, these motherfuckers that did longer time for worse shit. I mean, lesser time for worse shit.
Yeah.
I've been hit by a car, so I'm gonna be a little prejudiced towards that.
I might hit you with a car. I don't think 9 years would be good enough. If like,
not
sorry.
Not intentional, man.
I'm not nowhere near the same person.
But Suge is just known. He has a history of notorious things.
But see, that's what I'm saying. You say he need to get out, but that's California, like. Suge is way beyond California standards of a nigga spending his life in prison. So I don't know.
Yeah. Do we need to hear need more info on like the Biggie murder?
Huh?
You think we need more info on the Biggie murder?
I think we pretty much know that.
That too?
We haven't heard like those people that's involved in that really sit down and like get on like podcasts and stuff. But I'm pretty sure that's coming. But I mean, we pretty much know the storyline and the sketch of that too. It goes two or three different ways, but you know.
So. Now, what about like they said LAPD was involved?
I wouldn't doubt it. That's what I wondered too when we was talking about why is this happening.
Yeah,
I wonder about that too.
What's going on over there that they're trying to get you over here? They could be internally having some issues. There could be a big time, you know. LAPD is the most corrupt, probably. Police organization in the world.
LAPD is involved in all of this.
Come on,
crazy.
The gang unit, they all that, the Ramrod, all that. We all know the history behind that. I am more interested in Biggie than I honestly Pop, or I'm an East Coast cat. But I mean, that seems to be, to me, it was really retaliatory. I mean, I don't really know why Pop beat somebody to fuck down an hour before that. They jumped someone, and that was that could have been that, man, as far as I'm concerned.
I always said that. But I felt Biggie like was murdered, bro.
Straight on some a contract kid. Yeah.
Yes.
And
do we feel like Big should have listened to people and not go to the West Coast?
Yeah, of course he should have, but he ain't want to do that. Yeah, man.
I get that. Okay, yeah.
With his stance, I'm going to be scared.
He had a show booked out there, right?
No, I think he was just out there.
He was just out there.
So on the women, on the week, I mean, the streets,
you know. And the fact that they knew where he was moving.
I probably hate that this cat has to hear this.
He wasn't doing the show. He's just out there chilling.
I mean, even back. I mean, it's a lot easier to keep in contact with people now, but it was even back then. Yeah. I mean, think all. If you go through and listen to all them stories of Suge Knight, as far as like Vanilla Ice, Michelle A, all of them saying the same story. This nigga Suge was everywhere we was at, and we did not know how he was finding us. So I mean, even back then, it was going on. You know.
Yeah. But see, people who are gang related out there, you know what I'm saying? You don't know who they know. Their cousins could work for the hotel. Their auntie could work for, you know, car services. You know what I'm saying? If they want to get in touch with you, they want to touch you, you find out pretty quick.
Well, same in the Ville. If you come in the Ville, I know where you're at in 15 minutes if a celebrity comes to the Ville. Yeah. Right? Because we tapped in. If you tapped in, you tapped in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so do we need to say anything more about Pocket Bag? Because I had another topic I was going to bring up. Let's go with this one. Who are the top five rappers from the 80s?
From the 80s?
I'm going to let Joe start this off.
No, I'm not starting that off.
Yeah, he's an 80s guy.
I'm not starting that off, man.
You've been missing in action, man. You've been missing in action, man.
I mean, can we preface this? I'm going to go back to you, Jones. I'm going to preface this by saying this is about to be a personal list, so I don't care what nobody ever. I don't expect nobody to have my list, but go ahead, Jones.
Damn, go ahead.
Come on, bro. That's what you're here for.
And the shit's a fucking. It's a mixed bag, man. But I mean, just off my main listening. You know, I'm going with Rakim. I'm going with Public Enemy. I'm going with. I mean, throwing Heavy D up in there. I'm throwing Heavy D up in there. I'm throwing Boogie Down Productions in there. I mean, there's so many others. I don't like Fives, man. My list goes sideways. I don't go.
My shit be in a damn circle. You ain't got to explain. You got to jump.
That was four, five, 80s.
Two of them were technically groups.
Well, I'll go real quick. I'm gonna say definitely in no particular order, Rakim,
Run DMC, my bad.
Guru, Rakim Guru. Said
80s.
Yeah, Guru was the 80s. Guru, they gave you the
80s. I wouldn't say Guru was one of the best rappers in the 80s. No. He only had like one album.
This is LL Cool J, Rakim.
Rakim has to be in, I think.
Big Daddy Kane. Strictly 80s. I mean, we're going 80s here. KRS-One. The fifth. I don't know, man. I thought Special Ed was mad nice, but he didn't do a whole lot.
He only did one album,
but he was...
No, he did two. He did two.
Okay, but the second was not as great as the first.
And he's not too fond of Vietnam.
Well, he got his ass beat in Vietnam. Let's be real.
He's not too much fond of Vietnam.
I ain't never heard that.
I remember hearing that one.
The story is, in the late 80s, after or the mid 80s, when he dropped his first album, he came in to the show at the Cumberland County Civic Center. And he talked mad shit to some boys from the Merc and Shaw Road in the front row during the show. And then he stopped on a store. I don't know which side. I think it was on the Bragg Boulevard area or whatever. Stopped at a local store and was jumped and robbed and got his ass beat after the show.
And I also heard that they chased him down the boulevard.
Yeah. I mean, this is corroborated by a lot of old heads that were that seen it. Yeah, that was real. He never came back, by the way. You know, I wouldn't go talking shit on them Shaw and Merc boys on stage neither. But
I don't get why artists would do that anywhere they go. You know, like,
well, you think about it. They buy tickets.
All right, guys.
This is the mid 80s. He's from New York. He come down. He a fan with no kind. He never heard this, but he think he in Poe Dunk, Fuquay Arena. He thought, you know, how many times you've been stepped through in the Ville and somebody said, I'm from New York. Like, that's going to stop you from doing something. But that's
he probably was drunk as fuck. He will be drunk and tripping and saying stupid shit.
I definitely got my ass beat talking shit drunk for sure.
So you will put Special at top 80s rapper, okay?
Well, no, that's my number five, because if you gave me some more time to think, I'd probably come up with something else. But definitely KRS-One, Rakim, Big Daddy Kane, and who's my other thing? I took
LL. Guru out. I was probably going to say LL.
LL, that's right. LL.
And I don't know, man. I might have to go with Run.
Run?
I might have to go Run. Not Run DMC, but Run.
Nah, DMC got him, man.
DMC don't got Run.
There you do.
No, he don't.
Yeah, he don't. All right. Go ahead. Go imagine the whole album of Run.
DMC had a better voice. Well, Run had the better verses.
Run had a verse on a...
They go together, man.
Run had a verse on a Flesh and Bone joint. He kind of killed that one on a Flesh and Bone joint.
Rapping fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came. That was later on, man. Like Down with the Kings, he came with that.
Oh yeah, he came with a fastball.
He changed his style up. I remember on that they did a song like Five Bros to Death. He was rapping fast like that.
Smiggity smack daddy.
That Get Down with the King is my fucking shit.
Hey,
man.
Yeah, that's
you know
my joint.
Why? Death, because CL's verse. Yeah. Down with the King is about
that is the only reason
for you sucking back in the mic and make a man of them. Tears Run killed that when he said tears of fears with my fears. They rip it. Think that it is. I mean, that was a great song.
Is that a Pete Rock?
Yeah. Yes, it's a Pete Rock.
All day long.
I saw them
Pete Rock and Premier ruled the whole 80s and early 90s. Pete Rock and Premier.
Yeah. I saw them do that and at the Cumberland County Civic Center. It was the 1993 tour. And even though it was Naughty's tour, Naughty went on second before last. They let Run DMC close out the show.
Of course.
Like that was how you do it. Yeah, that was respectful too.
Now Run and DMC definitely would have been the headliners. I mean, with me, to be honest, it's a little tiny bit before my time. You know, I was born in 83.
Word.
But all those people y'all talk about is crazy to me because I'm a student of hip hop. I would say you definitely, like you said, you have to put
Rakim.
Well, not Rock. You definitely Rakim. But it was somebody that definitely all of them. Probably the biggest ones that had an effect on me was Rakim, G-Rap. Heavy D was so crazy.
I love Heavy D. That Blue Funk album. By the way, why are we talking about the Heavy D? The Blue Funk album is slept on. That whole album.
This is who I was going to say. I was going to say for the same reason that you have to mention Rakim, because Rakim changed it so much. Grandmaster Flash and them, they changed it so much, like as far as like, you know, from going from the hippie to
how the comic
book. Yeah, like the real early cats. Yeah.
So down. Yeah, I give them
and Houdini, like, man.
I was too young, man. I was 13 in 89. So Cool J definitely, KRS-One and all those. I was Rakim, I was right there. You know, they was releasing, you know,
that's 89. That's the ill era.
Me, you know,
when I was 13 was like 94, 95. So,
oh, word,
you know what I'm saying? So,
I was into LOG back then, and also another dude Ill Street Blues, my man.
That's cool. G Rap, Ill Street Blues,
and he was
G Rap and Polo
into late 80s. He came out rapping,
and Kane, G Rap, and Kane is probably, like I said, they changed it. G Rap, Kane, Rakim. They just brought those it to three, a different level, you know what I'm saying?
The 80s. The whole Juice crew was like the dream team back then. You know, you had Craig G, too.
That's right.
And I mean, MC Shan, I wasn't really a super big fan of him, but he was popping in the 80s.
But what he's saying is, like, Rakim changed the rhyme patterns to rhyming more intricately, like three of the last syllables. And then you had Kane, who changed the way metaphors were used. You know what I'm saying? He was dope with the similes and the... And that whole, honestly, the first Cool J, who's still successfully doing it with the transition from a 16-year-old kid to a sex symbol and all this, you know what I'm saying?
And so, lyrically, it's crazy. Cool J was crazy the whole
career. I'm Bad was still hard as hell. Jones, he still man. Came out, he would crush your motherfuckers.
Hello, Cool J, Jones, man.
Mama said knock you out. Like, that's
crazy. But you got to understand, when I'm Bad came out in the mid-80s, nothing like that ever came out. When he talking about, I'll take a muscle back. When he was bragging, everybody's like, what?
That motherfucker down Bad video?
Take a muscle bound, man. His face in the sand.
That down Bad video was fucking crazy, yo.
Hey, so, I'm going when he just jumped out, like,
That's iconic.
That kid had so much energy, he was just jumping all over the damn place.
And this man was just standing in the back like this.
Even the DJ was like, just crazy.
And then the DJ just standing like there until the part come in. Cool J. That shit was crazy.
Yes,
man.
So he's definitely top 380s, no doubt. I mean, Cool J should be top 10, period, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't squeeze him into the five because we're going to put some lyrics.
You got to look at longevity, man.
Yeah, well, at one time he was lyrically ahead of his time, too.
Man, these niggas would not be on that shit if it weren't for Cool J.
He had to deal with Superdog.
No doubt.
Yeah.
First cat to be in the movies, first cat to go TV shows. I mean, L. Cool J really is slept on in that arena. He was that, you know, first black dude to live through a horror movie to the end on that short joint.
Yeah, because Samuel Jackson sure held it.
No, man, that's another topic.
Cool J is glossed over a lot when we talk about these types of lists.
He got all my respect, man. He made
it.
First cat to really do 16s, like structured 16s. Because even before that, like Run DMC and all them, they had songs that were like 8 minutes long, you know, versus they were going back and forth. But he was the first one to really do structured 16, you know, 16, 8, 16, 8.
And even like after that shit, you're talking about like all that acting shit, like with that that show he had with the kids. I remember when he came back
in the house,
he had that tunnel shit with that that DJ. Premiere that Call My Name. That shit was crazy, yo.
L-Bomb.
Yeah, exactly.
It was on the Funk Master Flex tape, yeah.
On the tunnel.
Yo, he was on stage a week ago. Okay. I seen him a week ago on the internet on stage, and he was still in black leather. Like, he looked fit and cool and young and still had everything. He still could do it, son.
I went to the concert.
You went to the Rocket
concert they had on. Yeah, man, it was crazy.
Cool J, ain't it?
Still had the energy, you know, up there doing it with the Roots. It was just crazy.
I saw your post when you was out there, but I mean, even shit like that, like that whole Rock the Bell shit, like the what he's doing with Sirius and like the show, like he don't even got to be doing that shit. He's doing that out of respect for the game, man. That's incredible shit. Like, I mean, I've even seen they had Noriega rapping at that Rock the Bell shit. Like they had Nori doing like a performance of like all his hits. I was like, this is crazy, yo. And that's after Nori was like, he would never do another rap show, but he came out and did a show for Cool J for Rock the Bell. This was crazy.
You know, a partner of mine, he just got back from the Bahamas, and Rock the Bells, they've been doing things on cruise ships and on cruise stops, man. They got a lot of major names on there. It's like, yeah, Uncle L doing a lot. Ain't Cash lit. Your list got it live right quick.
That's my dream vacation would be like Rock the Bells cruise. Like,
mm-hmm. And it's just going crazy. Down. I was like, wow, it's going down.
Yeah, man. So. And he's given a lot of the inventors, a lot of the pioneers, you know, stake, like real business stake in Rock the Bells. Like they have a percentage of Rock the Bells.
Yeah, and I'm gonna tell you what's crazy about it is I think, you know, legally the whole point of when he started doing that shit was I think it was some white people that was doing like a Rock the Bells tour before, right? And he felt like they had stole the name and shit, and he kind of fought for it, but it was well worth it because, you know, his influence, you see all the special shit that he's able to do and all the people he's able to get on that tour. I mean, that tour gonna be legendary. I mean, that's gonna be legendary tour for a long time, I believe.
And as it should be, ain't no white folks should be able to run no goddamn Rock the Bell shit.
That's his shit.
That's hip-hop. I'm glad.
Let's see this.
Well, let's flip it a little bit. What cats in the 80s was still really dominating the 90s?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of those people that you
gave to me, like, me to talk.
Rakim, G-Rap, Kane. Well, not so much Kane, but
not so much.
I want to say that we also should have said about talk about Biz.
But you told me I couldn't, but you know, Step in the Arena was 1986, and they released some classic albums in 89.
No, it wasn't 86. They had their first album. Never mind. Their first album was Nice Guy. That was like 89.
Yeah. About work.
Mr. Nice
work.
Guy, 89.
That was way, that was 90 something. That was,
yeah,
work was off a moment.
Two albums in the 80s.
No, they didn't.
Okay, I'm about to ask
they did one album in the 80s. There was no more Mr. Nice Guy.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of those people is like 90s niggas to me. Like, I know Rakim from the Juice soundtrack, which, yeah, you know, that's
what
I know G-Rap. I don't really know G-Rap from the Juice crew. I know G-Rap from 456, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Shit like that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which Jones, was his, what happened which to was your his camera,
big,
man?
Kind of, you're good. Okay, you're nice. Now, his your mainstream way to blow up was 456, because albums of his have blown up that they didn't expect to. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But...
No, I feel what Kaz is saying because, you know, it's age-wise. You know, you go by age. I was looking for, I was listening to D103, listening to,
I was hearing them, I Ain't No Joke.
But then I was hearing Follow the Leader.
I didn't realize that
Air B for President was the first album. I bought the second album.
Oh, shit.
It was the first.
Man, he said we're dope.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dougie Fresh. Rick, how we get the 80s list without either one of them? That's kind of tough, too.
Yeah, Slick Rick.
I mean, and that whole crew, like Dougie Fresh and him. I mean,
I don't know if I put Rob Bass. To me, he's like just the top one hit wonder guy to me.
Hey, man, that was my Sixth Ray like, Dance joint.
The timeless one hit wonder of all songs.
You think so? You think Joy Thumper 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 is his only song?
It Takes Two is like, I mean, you play that anywhere to this day.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's DJ Easy Rock, though. That's the Easy Rock beat. That shit is dope.
Yeah. I mean, to this day, you throw on It Takes Two, and it's like, it's timeless, man. Yeah.
But when I think 80s rap, it's one of the first top three songs I think of.
Yeah, but I don't think top rappers if you only had one song that was really popular.
I know that. But we cannot say a Slick Rick or Dougie Fresh.
That's Slick
Rick crazy. We got to say Slick Rick.
Children's Story was the first rap I learned. Everybody learned. I mean, a lot of people. That was the first rhyme I ever learned, and I did it at the lunch. I remember being in fourth grade, 71st Elementary, banging that shit out, 1985, 1986, Children's Story. Here we go. We knew every word.
I know Slick Rick from the album where the album called, I want to say it was called Storytelling, which was when he had like Raekwon on there. Raekwon was on that. But I'm saying like, now, I can't remember the name of the Slick Rick album, but I remember he came to Paradise and he was like signing it. And it was the album that had the song with Raekwon called Frozen. It was Slick Rick. That's what I know Slick Rick from. But then I had to go back and do the knowledge the show and all that. And doing the knowledge, man, like Dougie Fresh was life changer for me. That video him and the Get Fresh crew got on with that.
Keep Rising to the Top.
Keep Rising. That's his. That video, like
an ultimate storyteller, MC.
On some fly stuff, if you go back and look at that video, when Dougie gets out the limo, they show some real premium 80s Nikes. It's like you get a quick view.
Yeah.
But it's like you can't even, I don't know, you can find them joints, man. But I love that video top to bottom. Man, I love that song top to bottom. Word up.
They was really fresh back then with the sweatsuits and the Nikes, the Bally's.
The Wallabies always with the Bally's and the Wallabies. Yeah. And Slick Rick, you know, with the whole, you know, he's from England, right? But the whole fame way he delivered his lyrics. And then he inspired Dana Dane, who copied, you know, the way he delivered. And
that's his boy.
The story about Dana Dane is Slick Rick. He heard Slick Rick, but he was like, Slick Rick wasn't even using his deepest, like his real hard.
He was trying not to.
Yeah. So that's why Dana Dane used that style, because he wanted to use the accent a little bit more.
Nice. I really want to know how Russell found Slick Rick, yo.
Wasn't Dougie Fresh that found him? He was Little Ricky.
He was a nine.
He was the hype man for Dougie Fresh. He was Dougie Fresh's hype man, Little Ricky. So, I mean, Dougie Fresh.
Even to this day, it's hard for international rappers to blow up in the U.S. market.
Well, he's from New York. He wasn't living in England.
Yeah, but he got
raised
the accent.
He was raised here.
He got a real British accent.
Yeah, he got that accent.
He was on tour. Dougie Fresh.
He got that accent. He got that accent. They know, like, yo, that shit ain't from here.
Yeah.
And he still just popped like crazy, man.
Anyway, we off the subject because you didn't let us get off the subject, Mr. Meteor, man.
Nah, it's still on subject.
80s, 90s. We talking about what's going on. Mr. J gave us your top 90s. Five. I don't think Mr.
J's
gave us his top five.
Who is your top five, Mr. J?
Well, we will have to start with some pioneers. Definitely Melly Mel.
See,
Busy B. Let's see. We'll probably still do LL. KRS-One.
Bridge is over.
So LL, KRS-One, LL, Busy B.
Who else you got?
We got one more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll do Heavy D. We'll definitely do Heavy D.
Heavy D, the guy that got me into hip hop.
Well, let's remember also, Ice T was all through the '80s, very early.
Yeah, Ice T.
That's what I'm saying. I don't like these fives.
Four or five successful albums. We forget the West Coast. I was. Oh, y'all want to hear a story? I was in the Navy. I was 18, 1994, and I was over in Albania in a record shop. The only hip hop album they had was Colors. And I bought it. The only hip hop, American hip hop, they had the whole rack, and it was Ice-T. Wow. And I bought it.
Ice-T,
Ice-T,
Ice-T.
Like Panama. We had one LL Cool J.
This is way over in the Eastern Bloc, baby. So we are sleeping on a couple cats out here.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
And he also went on with the TV.
We were just contained the fire. Yo, Ice-T is wild because Ice-T is crazy because. When I started recognizing Ice-T, I go back and look. This dude was in Beach Street. He was in Beach,
right?
He's got some technical.
Jones got
technical.
He was in Beach Street for a short minute. If you go look at the Joski Love video for the Pee Wee Herman, Ice-T. This West Coast motherfucker was all over the East Coast somehow. Ice-T was just always. Somewhere.
He was all the documentaries from Beach Street, the Pimps Up, Hoes Down, all everything. He's a real dude though. Hey, whoever called Ice-T on anything?
No.
Ice-T certified across the board.
I think we forgot a name.
Dude is
the Fat Boys, man.
Yeah, that's a novelty act.
Whoa! They're not a novelty. The novelty came.
They were huge.
Baby, you're
the
rich
same
man.
Reason I can't put the Beastie Boys on this list.
No, the Beasties always get it, man.
Why you can't put the Beastie Boys on this list?
What? Because I think it's a niche kind of group, like it's
an audience. No, Beastie Boys.
I did like the movie Delivery.
Beastie Boys is one of the craziest.
I disagree.
One of the craziest rock.
They ain't no me or you without the Beastie Boys.
I know the Beastie Boys,
man.
They ain't no me.
Man, come on, man. Paul's Revere, everything, man. Them cats.
I didn't say. Did I? All I said was I can't put them on the top five list. The
same five.
I can't put the Beastie Boys, Fat Boys. You know,
that's
Fat Boys.
I don't
two albums and it's a movie or what? Two albums
no,
and a movie.
Fat Boys was pop crossover, hip hop guys. Man, they were huge, dude.
I that's what I was gonna say. I don't think we would have Kid and Play if it wasn't for the Beastie Boys.
But I don't think we would have enough.
Kid and Play is another
one.
That's another
one. I was on the top five list. They were getting all the groups. Right. We naming all the groups.
No,
dude.
But I'm just saying, like, they were
based in
the 80s.
Yeah.
Jones
started
with
groups anyways. He said Run DMC.
I'm saying, yeah, I mean, plenty of.
Okay.
We're not here if there wasn't dozens and dozens of successful 80s artists.
Let's bring it back. What are your favorite solo rappers? What are your five solos from the 80s?
I said what my five solos.
No, not you. I'm going back to the host. Let's go.
My solos? Oh, Rakim, KRS-One,
right.
Big Daddy
Kane,
LL.
KRS-One was in the group. He didn't drop his first solo record until the 90s.
Wow.
No.
But he was the only one.
Listen,
don't let your ego get on you, bro. What you said about you saying groups.
What I got called out for was
I
brought
rapper.
Up groups.
I care.
No, I got called out for bringing up groups.
Mentality. Well, you brought up like a dope ass group. Who did he say? He said like a real bona fide group. Like
he said Public Enemy.
Yeah, Public Enemy.
Boogie Down Productions is a group.
Yeah, but they're looked upon. We only got the one. Before we get too far.
Before we get too far, I wanted to go back to that point about Ice-T. About Ice-T. Ice-T was a part of, Africa Baby Bam, and he was a part of the Zulu Nation. Rhyme Syndicate was part of the Zulu Nation, so that's why he was, you know, his first album, Africa Baby Bam, produced the whole thing.
And you know who was under him then? Ice-T, little protege named Everlast. Look what he's done. You know, that whole tree, right? It's dope, right?
That's what you talk about Everlast from like House of Pain.
He put around.
When I was young, I got like Chino XL. Like when I had my braids, I was rapping there, but I said Chino XL. Yeah.
You do look like Everlast right now. Yeah.
Hey, give me one of those acoustic hits.
But with the braids,
he made millions on that shit.
YD4.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Millions and millions off two chords. Okay. That's this conversation.
All right, so cats from the '80s that were dominating the '90s. Who we got?
Because in the 90s, you had that whole explosion of both the New York and the West Coast explosion. I mean, it was all new artists. They primed the best entire era of hip hop,
89
to 99. What about the cats that made it to the 2000s? Y'all lost me at the 2000s.
Right. I want to go back. I want to go back to the original question.
What?
Who made it from the 80s to the 90s?
Yeah, we didn't spend enough time on that, right?
Well, Chris, like you said, Chris.
Yeah, Mr. Smith album sold like 8 or 9 million copies.
Cool J had
2 or 3 more albums that were platinum. He dominated. Looking at it from that perspective, from the '80s to the '90s.
Cool J's a relevant artist to me now.
I bet you he could drop out in the morning and go gold or platinum. I guarantee he could still move units.
His latest album is supposed to be all produced by Q-Tip. That's the word.
Well, Nas' last album, I think, was one of his best albums ever. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, the boys is, I think we're getting there to where you're going to see 40-something rappers crushing it. I mean, crushing it. Yeah, definitely,
I think EPMD made a great transition from the 80s to the 90s.
They did.
I love them.
Yes, they did.
Super loved EPMD, for real.
Yeah, that's a good one, Jones. They definitely made a good transition from the 80s to the 90s.
They also came to the Ville. I got respect for anybody that came to the Ville.
Rap, Karis won. Not a lot of cats, though, that really made it into the 90s super heavy when you get to the late 90s.
Like I said, just not.
Cool G definitely did. You know, LL was definitely popping in the 90s. Karis won was popping in the 90s. EPMD made it.
Yeah, because it was, when did Madism come out? Like 97?
Ice-T still had some joints.
Ice-T, somewhat, yeah.
Dr. Dre.
What about Dr. Dre or Eazy-E?
Ice Cube. Huge in the 90s with like three straight platinum records, Lethal Injection.
Wow, how do we forget about Cube? Oh my goodness.
Like three straight. Yeah, so definitely Cube.
Cube like no.
Forget about Cube all the time. I don't know how we do.
Man.
Eazy-E. A lot of people downplay his success as like a business owner and a record label. I mean, he was one of the first selling millions of records, and from like JJ Fad to Bone Thugs and Harmony, everything he touched with, like, it was crazy. Yeah.
He signed Black Eyed Peas.
He signed Will.i.am. That's right. They were on Death Row. Hey, by the way, he signed Hobson first, and there was another underground rapper.
He signed Hobson first of Death Row Records.
Did he?
His wife, that guy. His
Rufus.
Wife. Rufus. That's right. Rufus.
Hold up. Rufus signed Hobson first?
Yes.
That's wild.
Yeah, Rufus was a real regular label, and early in the game,
that's
they had nothing but platinum artists. You know what I'm saying? And they robbed the hell out of everybody. They robbed everybody.
They pat them down like Devo.
They robbed everybody. What you got on my time share, motherfucker? What you got? Give me what you sold some money on the road, thank you.
And they said Tamika was doing a lot of them wrong. That white,
yeah, it would be worse. Any worse. Probably felt easier getting screwed over by Eazy-E than.
Oh my goodness! All right, boss.
You know, boss. Jerry Heller was still there, so
yeah. He was the worst. The worst of the worst. He the Harvey Weinstein of hip hop. For real though, dog. Damn.
Yeah.
Who like that motherfucker?
Nobody.
To be honest, a lot of them have said they really respect them, like Ren and all them, they have said, they say take real shit. Like, he took a big chance on them before, like, you know, white people in the record business was taking a chance on people like that. They said they looked at him like a father figure because they were just kids and
they say he easy, really did.
But, all, and but that's how they viewed it because they were, but he viewed it as exploitation. Look how much money I'm gonna make off these motherfuckers that don't even realize how much it's worth that what they're giving.
But even the label took a chance because the only act they had before that was the California Raisins.
Don't sleep with the California Raisins.
Hey, look, man.
I had to sleep on the dashboard of my whip.
Them hard, them fucking
hard. California Raisins.
The hard, easy, get hard, easy, with seven raisin biscuits, motherfucker.
Hey, yo, so you telling me, because the Temptations was doing the singing for the Raisins. I'm showing my age. So you telling me that Jerry Heller,
by way of the California Raisins, also got some of the Temptations.
This is some conspiracy shit going down right now. This is crazy.
Well, I don't know if Jerry Heller owned I think it was the label
The label? Yeah, I'm just fucking around.
Jerry was more like a freelance contract. The goddamn California Raisins guaranteed they went platinum, though.
No, they went gold.
Did it go gold?
They went gold, though, even back then.
Wood in the hood. Everybody knew those shits. Everybody
add the California Raisins to the 80s list.
No. California Raisins was official 80s shit though. They was big in the 80s.
They was hitting.
Spud McKenzie, he ain't top five hip hop.
Tone Loc hit in the 80s.
Hey. Yeah, he had a dope hit. He had a serious hit. A crossover hit. Okay, I'm with it. Hey, yo, it's Tone Loc, man. You know what we do. We here live and direct from live at Vietnam with Tone Loc.
But he's an official West Coast nigga.
Like, come on, though, man. I look at him like Young MC, man. Like, what'd you say? A two-hit wonder?
They was on the same
Young
label.
MC wrote for some people.
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
They was on the same label.
And Sir Mix-a-Lot bigger than him to me.
Well, if he had a bigger record. I'm going to tell you why I don't look at it like that, because at that time, that was so early in hip hop. Shit, people hadn't made that many hip hop records yet. You know,
Wild Thing, voice you can't claim Wild Thing came out. That was mid '80s. Wild Thing, Tone Loc.
Yeah, like, that's saying that was early in the game.
Early,
people didn't have a lot of hip hop records at that point, especially hit records that it went crossover. So you had to respect it. You gotta respect that.
And I think Young MC wrote Wild Thing. Either one of them for him.
We're down. Like,
They were on the same label. They was both on Delicious Vinyl.
And they both had singles had kind of like a rock and roll type.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They really were rock and roll.
After rock and roll was still kind of heavy in the hip hop sound too.
And they both from Cali. It's a dope conversation, Travis.
So Young MC Rowe.
Well, if you mention them, you got to mention Candyman too.
No, I'm not doing that.
Only the Candyman can, like the heavyweight champion, knocking him out without it out. Come on, man. No encyclopedia.
I did expect the lyrics to come.
Put a quarter in bag. Hip-hop,
oh, man.
All right, I got to take a smoke break, y'all. I'm sorry. Take a cigarette break, y'all mind?
It's not like we're going to stop you.
All right.
got me straight here from work. Like,
oh man.
Messing up the camera angle over there, man.
What's that beeping? I'm touching it?
No, you keep moving from it like that. All right, good.
Yeah,
I gotta move it now.
Hey, y'all got any recommendations? I'm stuck in the same loop when I listen to stuff. You know, I go back to familiar artists, whatnot.
Man, the people who like really make that kind of music that I really fuck with now is like a guy by the name of Rock Marciano. I like a lot. I like Mayhem Loren.
Oh yeah, dope.
I do. I actually like Larry June a lot too.
You know, he was out here. A couple of my, I had to work, but a couple of my people went to the show. The dude, he sold out the Ritz. He sold out the Ritz. I'm like, God damn.
Shit, I was there. I seen him.
Oh, you was there?
about like earlier this year, right? Like 3-4 months ago, right? Because I discovered that place, the Ritz. Like a month before there, Nick Cannon was there, and Nick Cannon had a show where Nick Cannon brought out like a bunch of young rappers like Simba and Nick Cannon managed all them niggas like Hitman Holla, and he brought all them out. And I went to that show, and I found out about the Ritz then.
Oh wow, okay.
I want to say all the people on the tours under Nick Cannon managed like a girl named Klondike Grandi. If you go look at that show, he had a show called Next Rising Star, where he was taking like 12 like brand new artists and I think he managed all of them.
They sleep on that man's ear and his talent, man, because he does a lot of production too.
Yeah, they can't. You know what he's doing, man, with the entertainment industry all together.
But I've been out to the Ritz when they had the 20th, I think it was the 20th anniversary of Paid in Full. That's when Rakim came out there. Yeah.
I got pictures. I was there. All right. I didn't know you then. Damn.
Yeah.
I actually had saw Larry June maybe a year before at the House of Blues.
Word.
Myrtle Beach. Yeah.
Word.
I had originally bought a ticket. It was for Larry June and a guy named Primo Rice, because at that time I had just really started listening to Primo Rice, and I think he had ended up signing to the same management and tour company as Larry June. So I bought a ticket for that, but that was right when the pandemic hit and they kept extending it, and they finally did the show 2 years later. They did the show.
Man, you know what? I mean, at least for me, Kaz is talking about stuff that I think a lot of artists and just people like myself, I think about, you know, people be out here, you know, they talk online, they like, ain't no room for the real, or what they call the real. But it's like, man, it's people that are listening to people, man. It's people
doing what they can for some real good artists, man. And I like seeing it. And so, man, when my people, you know, when my friends, you know, they share some photos.
And I know what the Ritz look like when it's packed. And it was like
to the stage,
to in the balcony. I was like Larry June and sold out in Raleigh. Like, yeah.
That's the kind of career I want to set up for myself at this point. I want to put out music and pretty much build my own following, which I feel like Larry June is. I know those people not exactly independent, they have people backing them, but shit, I mean, if you can literally put your own music on Apple Music and to the point and get a fan base to the point where you get enough plays where you can do your own little shows, how House of Blues is and how the Ritz is, I'd rather do the little intimate shows like the Ritz anyway. I actually love the Ritz, you know what I'm saying? Because it reminds me of House of Blues. I've been going to House of Blues for a long time, Jersey and all that. But the Ritz is kind of like that. You go in and the standard room general admission is on the bottom, but you spend an extra $50 and go upstairs, and it's a lot flyer. You can literally just get a seat. It feels like you sit up there so close where the stage is 50 feet from you. I like that House of Blues kind of flow type shit. I would love a Larry June type career where, like I said, he got enough fan base where he could just really just do his own thing and
got fan base that just loyal to him, that's just gonna show up to every standing room show that he's doing. He can sell out nonstop. And I'm
saying, can I say it like this? It's like, it's amazing that you're not even from the spot, but when you come to the spot, you're getting treated like you went to high school and college up in this joint. It's like everybody coming out. It's like, yo, Larry here.
Like, he got a real fan base, yo. He got a real ass fan base. Yeah.
And I got a special love for the Ritz, man. That was I got to open up for the cat I look up to, man. That was our first out of town show. Well, we got to open up for KRS-One at the Ritz.
That's fire. Yeah.
The crowd was waiting for KRS-One, but you know, the older people, when we got off stage, they were like, "Yeah, little man, y'all did kind of good." And then, you know, KRS-One just tore it down. But the Ritz is good with me, man. Always been standing room only.
Yeah, I like places like that. The Ritz, House of Blues down in Myrtle Beach, Cat's Cradle in Carrboro, places Cat's like Cradle. That. This is
nice.
Dope spots. You know what I mean? Poor house.
Any other topics we got, fellas? Any other topics?
We got something they got. Anybody got something?
Y'all got nothing?
I just want to go back to the female thing. You know, how do we feel about, you know, I posted it up on OK Player. There were some questions about, you know, did any females, you know, comment on it? You know what I'm saying? Did they have anything to say about it? How did y'all feel about, you know?
What did you post?
Basically posted you know, our questions about the state of female hip hop.
That shit, you know, crazy, man. That shit fucking crazy. Shout out to all the females. They literally got the game on lock. I mean, they making some wild ass music, but is it really that wild? They just
not as wild as the guys, I want to say.
Yeah, I mean,
because they're just mainly sexual.
Yeah, they bringing it back to actually talking about partying and dancing. Like, they ain't talking about killing niggas.
Yeah.
And shout out to Sexy Red. Yo, Sexy Red is like the new school Gucci man. Sexy Red is the Gucci man right now. It's like, you know,
Julio Brown.
Yeah. They say it's not that color. They say in the video it wasn't that color in the video.
I doubt it's brown. I've been staring at a lot of most of it. I think it's maybe some purple. Right. I see some purple.
Probably got it bleached.
I first heard some Sexy Red music. The mix ain't crazy.
You don't see the ass though. But Equal Girls got a little sazon on that shit.
Now,
my thing is,
I just want to say, as a real person, I gotta say, you know, that music is so fucking, you know, what's the word, debauchery or raunchy. I think it's gonna have so much. It's gonna have like a lot of negative effects.
It's short shelf life. Like Two Live Crew. It was a meteor. I loved it too. It was so damn raunchy that I had to listen to it because my parents hated it. Right, but it has a short shelf life. It's not classic material.
You're not gonna look back at
any of this. None of this is gonna be classic material that's being made right now.
Just like Two Live Crew moved the culture so much, but a lot of people can argue whether it was forward or not.
It's not classic music.
I was rocking Two Live Crew right along in my mix. I was rocking Mama Said Knock You Out, and I was rocking, you know, Fuck. Navarro,
Mama
Navarro,
Bear and Pop Bear Navarro, took four walk in the forest.
Yeah,
Pop Bear asked Mama Bear, "Would he eat her porridge?" Shit.
Yeah, yeah. So I can't look down on like the ladies for listening to like Sukiana, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and another thing is, every last one of them that comes out is super fucking popular.
Because the male economy and the males gonna spend money on it, they got the game on lock.
Hip hop is pop culture right now. Like hip hop is pop culture, absolutely. And the ladies like Rado, my nigga, that last Doja Cat single that Walk On, that Paint the Town Red, that shit is crazy. But the ladies have it on lock, and it's not a lot of hate. The only hate that I see is, and this is subjective too, because she fucked a lot of people, but a lot of people feel like a lot of animosity coming from Nicki. But I mean, they all seem to really fuck with each other. Unlike, you know, all the time the guys had it.
I think the complaints from the dudes. Dudes is the only ones complaining on the internet about the shit. whatever. But these same motherfuckers didn't have no problem with Uchi, Wally Wally, or any of the shit we did, which is crazy. Let's not even get to that shit.
I just
way worse than anything Nikki, any of them ever do.
Cause you know, today is so different. It's like, cause in my heart, I wanted to say, well, you know, I know about this one, that one, and that one, but I know about this one, that one, and that one, and they don't get played like the other ones. But it's such a different day. I know where to go to listen to what I want to hear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Sexy Red, her job is not to be.
Well, you're not trying to get paid on 99 on the clock. That's not your goal anymore.
But I know where to go. I know where to buy a T-shirt. I know where to run up the streams. You know, on my favorite. So it's like, today is real different, man. Excuse me, man. I'm sharing all of my 47. It's like one half of me want to complain, but then the other half of me know, like, man, motherfucker, type it in, click like,
go find it,
go to the show, boom, you know.
Yeah, I think there's enough hot shit out there now. If you're a fan of music and you looking for some music to find, you got all the old school shit, because even all that shit we talked about is pretty much cataloged on Spotify. But you can even find new shit. I mean, there's like you said, it's like it's 800,000 hip hop songs that come out every day. You can find some shit.
Yeah.
You can find it.
I wanted y'all to do me a favor. This is totally off the subject we talking about. That one. Everyone on this podcast, do me a favor. And in your next available opportunity, stream Falling Off by Up South 30. I want y'all to listen to this track, man, because it's crazy. It's got Cocaine Kev on it. It's banana. I just want y'all to take a moment and listen to Falling Off by Up South 30 and Cocaine Kev. It's just crazy, man. Shout out to Up South 30. What's the piece?
But in a related topic, should we have found some videos?
You got the 30. Oh, that's dope, man. You got the whole album. Got to be good to be that's good at it, baby.
What's up, Jay?
I said, in a related topic, should we have found some females to talk about that discussion?
He was there. We the ones we gave it to. You know what I'm saying? Whole movement, by the way. Sorry to say that when he passed, man, that was the biggest I've ever seen a city respond. We did, two, three shows in a week, set up by multiple cats. Shout out to everybody that was involved. But, you know what I'm saying, packed the house three times, raised $13,000 between his family. Right. Everybody had the big funeral with the horse-drawn carriage with all of Massey Hill walking behind him, which was amazing. But I'm going to tell you, my biggest regret of that whole shit is this. I've known 30 since I was doing shows and they was kids coming to my shows. That record, Be Good or Be Good At It, that he released posthumously is the best shit by far that he ever did. He did a lot of good shit with E-Dub. And it's bananas. If he would have been here to push that, I think that was the record. I think that was the record for him. But Be Good to Be Good At It, by the way. Everybody that's listening, go to where you get music and stream that whole album. It's crazy. Up South.
Shout out to E-Dub.
Shout out to the old Dark Side
Camp. Yeah.
Peace to E-Dub.
Peace to E-Dub. He way out there in the middle of America, you know what I'm saying? They'll be checking in, too, for real.
Yeah, I spoke to him recently. Shout out to him.
Yeah, me too. He'll be checking in. Dub's a... you know, especially just while we speak on it, Paul Masson, Big Face being white rappers from the Ville back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Dub was that next generation behind me. So I really paid attention to Dub, and I reached out to him early on. And I always said he was like
the... Keys.
Huh?
Low Keys?
Yeah.
Low Keys? Yeah.
I like Keys. By the way, shout out to the blowing up in the wrestling career. Low Keys about to be on AEW, WWE, all that shit.
And he just got married like 2 days ago. Congratulations.
Love, Psycho Love. Hey, shout out to my man, Merlin Woodward. Oh, my goddamn FB. You know him as Low Keys. Y'all know him as Fodder. Dude is like blowing up on the independent circuit with his old lady, Psycho Love. She got a background in the big time wrestling. Yeah. AEW, WWE, and all that. He's on his way, man. Y'all gonna see Low Keys on WWE. Another fabulous story, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, another. Yeah, definitely, man. Good for bringing that up.
And Keys was such a successful rapper. So, I mean, I remember him. He had a joint like him. He had connected with French Montana, and he had a crazy record with French Montana. Like, yeah,
he was on a few cool ass Dark Side Camp records I heard back in the day too. And he was in some videos with them boys. So
they're gonna have some white MCs that
we had every down.
And we didn't embarrass him. Wrestling is really interesting. Mm-hmm. Because what I heard is like a lot of that had to do with like the labels.
Telling him it's too.
Like, you know, telling like, I guess they were telling like his weight or something. So he comes back and starts getting into weightlifting and gets passionate about that. Wins all the weightlifting competitions I seen him in.
Yep.
And next thing you know, I look, I see
him and G Money. Him and G Money won the tag title for Ring Wars 2 years ago.
Like, Low-Key's and G Money.
Low-Key's and G Money win the tag title. I love that. I held those belts in the DJ booth with. Shout out to G Money, man.
Yeah, G Money, that's
my man in radio.
Hey,
that's my guy. My guy. And they graduated the year before.
Since y'all on the topic, I remember being 104.5. Peace to Vic Frost.
Yeah, no doubt.
I remember Vic was hosting the Friday Night Battles, and the winner, you know, the champion had to win like I think like 3 weeks in a row, something like that. Low-Key's took everybody out. I was there when he won the final battle.
I was the dude. Remember when we did that? I was doing the whole rules. Remember, I was like, all right, no written raps. You know, I came on to do the rules because we won so many times. Me and Jones, basically, we lived there for 2 years. We won like 10 weeks in a row. Then they had us up there. Then we co-hosted. So, by the way, shout out to the Shockwave era, which was huge for everybody. Shout out to Vic and everybody involved in that. But Low-Key's back to sales. Yo, I'm super impressed by what he's done transitioning from fucking what it, because he's a big deal what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
He's a big fucking deal, y'all.
And like I said, he was accessing rap too. Like, he was physically fit. Like, I think
he said he was too skinny. Come on, man.
No, I mean, I'm talking about like fit, like lyrically fit.
He was fit. Yeah, like, he could rap.
He had probably modeled a lot of that off of Lloyd Banks, but Keys was a spitter, yo.
He can rap. He can rap. There ain't no question about that.
You can understand him more than Lloyd Banks.
Yeah.
Like, his voice didn't. Lloyd Banks' voice is so raspy sometimes.
I love Lloyd really Banks.
And it's to see a white boy spitting punchline like that was crazy.
But Mr. J, get back to what you were saying though about I think you're talking about
to the ladies.
Well, no, my thing was, you know, we got a question, you know, about did any females participate in the discussion. I was like, well, should we have searched out some females to kind of participate in the discussion to kind of get their point of view, or, you know,
I got
local
one.
local females.
Well, we got Lady Rain. Yep. We got Game. I mean, we got come on, man, the list is pretty long there. You have a lot of video I see today.
I feel where Jay coming from.
I mean, we probably should have. I mean, if we're going to, we're gonna have to do a whole nother pod and bring in a female, like some Shelly B or something like that.
Shelly D, shout out to Shelly D. I ain't seen her in a hot minute. Dope.
That's
as hell.
The first name that just came to my mind.
She was the first lady of the Rhapsody in North Carolina to us, her, of course. Shelly D was blowing up all. I was opening shows in Raleigh with.
You know somebody who could pull Rhapsody? I mean.
No. I would rather have a local voice. What? I'd rather be around voice. Probably in Singapore.
I got some names in my head. They from the Ville too. Yeah. I ain't gonna say their name right now because you know I'm one embarrassing. They might be like, nah, I can't do it.
Because you forgot the motherfucker. That's why.
Nah, man. I didn't forget to show up tonight. So I'm one up. I'm good.
Hey, well, you was on, you was open too, and this bitch, you was looking at the third base coach like, should I just take the wide?
The first one was official. There was a Virgo birthday going down. I had to attend. The second one, man.
You had Parmesan back to drinking Parmesan. That's what you had. But we only drink the Dizzle up in this bitch, and that's what we want to tell you. We only drink Dizzle brand, a premium liquor, you know.
Yo, that was a nice segue, my brother. That was a nice segue.
Y'all ain't got nothing else we can say about these females. We're probably gonna wrap this episode up, fellas.
Yeah. I'm good.
Well, just a aside too, because it was talking about females. There's one female they never mentioned. You know what I'm saying? From North Carolina, she used to be down with the Deadly Venoms. That's Entice, and she's out of she was out of Winston-Salem. So
way back.
Yeah. Go listen to the joint. The video was still dope too.
I know who you're talking about.
Yo, this right here it's no delay here, because even as he talking, like, I'm literally hearing it as he's saying it.
Yeah.
So why was it so much delay last week? Was that because no headphones?
No headphones.
Okay, but like leaving right now, like as he said this shit, I can hear it as he's saying it.
Yeah, definitely.
So
no headphones.
Yeah.
All right, fellas, we're gonna wrap it up and call it episode.
Yo, Face, Big Cats, Paul Masson, man.
Shout out.
Much love, y'all.
Mr. Jones and me walking through the barrio.
That's the thing y'all never heard of. Walking through Strickland Bridge Road, my friend.